A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each must do as already determined, without sadness or compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Moreover, God is able to make every grace abundant for you, so that in all things, always having all you need, you may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. The one who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. The word of the Lord.
Has no fear of evil news. With a firm heart he trusts in the Lord. With a steadfast heart he will not fear. He will see the downfall of his foes.
Blessed the man who is gracious.
He gives to the poor. His justice stands firm forever. His might shall be exalted in glory.
Blessed the man who is gracious.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Johannem.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me. Verbum Domini.
Laus tibi Christe.
Today in the gospel, I think we really have the essence of Christianity presented to us, that Jesus says whoever loves his life loses it, that we must be the grain of wheat that falls to the ground and dies. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will be my servant. Following Christ in his cross, that grain of wheat image is an image of the cross and the resurrection. That heart of the Christian mystery, that's the heart of our sanctification. That's how we are to share in the life of Christ. The grain of wheat falls to the ground, dies, and bears much fruit. Death, resurrection, fruitfulness. And this idea of service, in John's Gospel, chapter 12, he's talking about how, you know, he is going to go and suffer and die. He's going to be lifted up and draw all people to himself. And he gives us our marching orders, that it's not just his work that he does exterior from us. Yes, he's doing it, but we're sharing in that. And that sharing in that cross includes this service. Whoever serves me must follow me. For I am there also my servant be. To have that servant attitude in life. And we see that today in the feast that we celebrate today of St. Lawrence, the deacon and martyr. He was part of the early church. He was martyred in 258 AD. The Emperor Valerian was persecuting the church. And St. Lawrence is the patron of deacons, of chefs, firefighters. I even read comics. You're never sure when all these lists they give out, but we'll see the comic part here in a minute. But he was born in Spain, first half of the 3rd century, probably around 225. And the Emperor Valerian commanded that all bishops, priests, and deacons be put to death. And the Pope was killed on August 6th. And then today we celebrate the martyrdom of Lawrence. And he was one of the 7 deacons of Rome, and he was the archdeacon. And he was in charge of all the ministry the church was doing to the poor. And so Valerian said, I'll give you 3 days, but I want all the treasures of the church. And he offered to spare his life if Lawrence did this. So Lawrence went out and gave away everything the church had to the poor, nothing in reserve. And then the 3rd day came, and he showed Valerian the poor. He gathered the poor and the sick. So these are the true treasures of the church. So Valerian wasn't happy. He took Lawrence, put him on a gridiron, and roasted him, burnt him. And he famously said, according to St. Ambrose, you can turn me over. I'm done on this side. So the patron of comics, right? The giant laughter of Christian men, as Chesterton says. because we know there's a fruitfulness. We know this is not the end. The sufferings of this life is not the end of the story. We have victory in Christ. St. Leo the Great would say that the flames could not overcome the charity of Christ, and the fire burning him without was weaker than the one he had burning within him. We see this idea of service, and Lawrence, you know, was in charge of these, the earthly treasures of the church to be dispersed. This work of service, of charity, is essential. It's part of the nature of the church. Acts 2:42, they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles and to the communal life, to the breaking of the bread, and to prayer. That communal life, that sharing what they had with one another, to be, as it says in Acts 4, one heart, one mind, sharing with one another. So church teaches that of our essence is to proclaim the gospel, to evangelize, to administer, to celebrate the sacraments, to give this witness of life, this witness of charity, this ministry of charity. Those three things, you know, evangelization, worship, and the service of the poor, we could summarize it as. And in the diaconate, too, the church teaches that there's special grace of this ministry of charity given in that ordination. So it's good that we have groups that can organize and do this in an orderly and efficient way to help others, to provide service to those in need. We see in the gospel today, as I mentioned, it's a challenge, you know, that we are to be this grain of wheat, that if it dies, we produce much fruit, that we must lose our life. You know, whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it. But it's not to be understood that life is somehow bad. We're to detest life. No, it's a great gift from God. We're to be grateful for it. What it means is that we're not to live selfishly. It's not just about us. My life is not my own, as the saying goes. My life is not my property. I give it away. I'm serving the Lord. That we are to live a life of self-giving, of love, of looking to others, in humility, receive this life, and we share it. We give. We use our energy, our time, our talent, and treasure to serve others. And the cross is a special expression of this self-giving. The cross is the grain of wheat, and it links us with one another. And sharing in Jesus' cross, we are linked with one another, ecclesially, in the church. We're walking together. Isn't it much more empowering and strengthening to serve together? We can do, as I mentioned, efficiently, but also be encouraged by one another, be inspired by one another in our service. So the second reading the first reading from Corinthians says, sow bountifully, you'll also reap bountifully. Give generously. Each must do as already determined without sadness or compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, it sounds cliche, but I've discovered it to be so true, like in the priesthood. Just to be a little cheerful around other people makes a huge difference. People don't need our misery, right? We need to come and try to be positive, try to be helpful, not in a fake way, but to realize that, you know, we are experiencing sharing in God's love and serving others and giving ourselves to others. So 2 Corinthians goes on, moreover, God is able to make every grace abundant for you, so that in all things, always having all you need, you may have an abundance for every good work. God gives us the grace to be servants. He gives us strength and direction. He gives us this special grace for every good work, because that's our mission. Yesterday, we celebrated the great Saint Teresa Benedicta of the Cross, Edith Stein. And speaking about this mystery of martyrdom, of suffering, She was so eloquent about the cross. She was a philosopher, right? She sought the truth. She was an unbeliever, sought the truth, and found her way to Jesus Christ, became Catholic. And that truth that she sought, she found out that expresses itself in love. She said that only those who commit themselves to the love of Christ become truly free. In modernity, in our culture today, everything is permitted. We see that growing every year. Everything is permitted. Christianity preaches a narrow gate, self-renunciation, discernment of what we are to do. But that is the path of freedom, true freedom. If it's just permissiveness, I'm seeking to get what I want all the time. I lose freedom. If I start thinking of others and giving to others, I grow in freedom. This is a mystery. Edith Stein would say that the cross is a mystery that cannot be understood by reason alone. John Paul II, in speaking about persecution, of which he saw a lot of in his native Poland, he said that nothing is more eloquent than the cross when silenced. The true message of suffering is a lesson of love. Love makes suffering fruitful, and suffering deepens love. I have to say, I was watching an episode of The Chosen recently, and this is the martyrdom of John the Baptist, and they had these, they were cutting back and forth to different scenes, and John is languishing in prison in silence. And I thought it was just an especially powerful scene. Because at some point, you know, we stop using words, and it's just that suffering that participates in the Paschal mystery, that builds the church, that makes the church, that is fruitful. That's what Edith Stein did. She went, you know, she offered her life in the concentration camp. She was a philosopher. She was a teacher. She became a Carmelite nun, but she wrote and spoke about Christianity. At some point, she laid down her life, suffered horribly, the ultimate price for the gospel. Pope Benedict XVI would say that the cross is the supreme sign of Christ's love for us. He would say, when our families have to face pain and adversity, look to Christ's cross. He gives grace and strength for this passage to new life. When sufferings are endured with Christ, with faith in Him, we already contain these, well, this suffering already contains the light of the resurrection, the new life of the world reborn, the Passover of all those who believe in His word. I found that powerful. It says, when our families face pain and adversity, it might be inner friction, it might be the pain of seeing a son or daughter go on a wayward life, that suffering there, when that is endured with Christ, when we look with faith to Him, that already contains the light of the resurrection, that faith. We experience this strength when we look to Him in that suffering and difficulty. He gives us light. He gives us strength. You know, if we have that faith to keep before us the cross of Christ. These martyrs are the supreme witnesses of Christianity. They were the only saints in the early church for a long time. This is the ultimate price. This is the ultimate witness to what it means to be a Christian.